I know you see a lot of second opinions where the patient's already heard one suggested therapy, and certainly so much controversy in mantle cell right now. What are the approaches right now that you would feel comfortable with saying, okay, maybe that's not exactly what I would do, or I'd put you in a trial? And what are the approaches you see out there that you're uncomfortable with?
Well, I think there's still a tremendous reliance on rituximab and CHOP alone. And this is despite the fact that we have a randomized trial comparing CHOP to rituximab and CHOP. This randomized trial was negative. There was no improvement in overall survival. There was no improvement in progression-free survival. The only endpoint that there was a statistically significant improvement was time to treatment failure, and that it was actually very modest. So I actually feel that mantle cell lymphoma is one of those situations where knee-jerk, just, oh, let's give rituximab and CHOP is definitely the wrong answer. Do we know what the right answer is for the patient who can't get more intensive therapy? Honestly, I'm not sure. For our older patients who can't go on a trial, who I don't think rituximab and CHOP is the right thing, we've been giving Brad Kahls from the University of Wisconsin the modified hyper-CVAD regimen, which is much better tolerated as the regular hyper-CVAD alternating with methotrexate cytarabine with rituximab added in both. It's pretty tough in the older patient. And in fact, you know, if you're older than 65, it probably doesn't have much more benefit. But interestingly, this modified regimen from Brad Kahl, when you remove the methotrexate and cytarabine, you dramatically reduce the toxicity and patients tolerate it much better. Another approach, though I do think is reasonable, is the rituximab hyper-CVAD alternating with rituximab methotrexate cytarabine, championed by the MD Anderson. However, I think the data as published and presented doesn't show that there's really a plateau. Patients are still failing, but it is an excellent way of reducing disease burden. And I think that they should go back to what they originally did, and that was hyper-CVAD followed by transplant. They thought they could replace the transplant with rituximab. I think they've improved things by adding the rituximab. I don't think they should abandon the transplant. Julie Vose showed some retrospective data at ASCO last year to suggest that maybe that is a very reasonable treatment approach. And certainly there are multiple centers, including our own, that show that if you use a relatively dose-intense regimen to get people into a good remission and then follow that by high-dose therapy and a stem cell transplant for the patient who can tolerate it, we have reported now 60% disease-free survival at 5 years. This is a disease where most of the early data suggested median survivals of 3 years. So we believe that with high-dose therapy and autologous stem cell transplant in first remission, we are definitely changing the natural history. Are we curing people? Jury's still out. But I do think we're improving the longevity of patients. We're definitely improving overall survival. We would like to see curative outcomes, and that's why we're exploring these new strategies with integrating ready immunotherapy.